Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Gonna be honest, you guys. I'm pretty out of sync with podcasting. I was just recording for 30 seconds, really starting to get into it, and I hadn't hit record on my microphone recorder. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, we're so back, actually. This has been in the works for 2 to 3 months. And I know what you're thinking, Kit. I thought season two ended 2 to 3 months ago, and you would be right. I've been working tirelessly, day and night, actually, towards season three. And my gosh, you guys, I really hope that it's paid off. I really hope that you guys have seen effort that I've put into the podcast. I'm so excited to be back. Welcome back to season three of Self-Interrupted with your host, Kit Costello. And one thing about me is that I am going to take a break between a season, and I don't think that makes me a villain. Actually, we did. We took about 2 or 3 months off, but we're back. I have so much to catch you up on. But first, if you are new to Self-Interrupted, first of all, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it so much. Let me talk you through the structure of how an episode of Self-Interrupted will go. I normally start off with a hard start, which basically means that I come in talking about literally anything. It could be talking about me yearning for a man, which is a pretty common practice here on Self-Interrupted, specifically a man that will never want me. That's the man that I am yearning for. Specifically a man at my local village gym that maybe I used to go to sixth form with. Yeah, and I am going to talk about it on the podcast, and I have updates, several, and I am very excited to bring them up. So we start off with a cold start or a hard start. I then kind of talk for maybe a couple of minutes, then I say, hey guys, okay, let me get into the catch up of the week. This is, as it says on the tin, the catch up of the week. I talk for about 10 to 15 minutes about stuff that is going on in my life. Again, most of the time I'm yearning for men. Then after the catch up of the week, I get into the real topic of the episode, which this week, the topic of the episode is why I stopped modeling. Gasp. Scandal. It's serious. Then once I've finished with the topic, I kind of give an outro, and then I give the recommendation of the week, which is sometimes food, drinks, movies, TV shows, music. I'm not saying that this is a variety show, but I'm also not saying that it is. So that's the structure of how Self-Interrupted works. So now let's get on to the second part of said structure, which is the catch-up of the week. And you guys, I have so much to catch you up on. I'm so excited to be back. Let's get into it. First of all, you guys don't know about a studio setup until you come to Self-Interrupted HQ, headquarters, exactly. I'm sitting in front of 3 studio lights and a backdrop. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, we did say budget this season. We did. And it's coming out of my bank account, I'll have you know. And I'm feeling it. Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm just so excited to be back. At the end of each season, I do get a little bit, you guys have got to understand, I record myself for an hour, I then edit myself for about 5 hours, upload the episode, and then have to promote myself. Like, that's jarring. You guys have to understand, and I do that for 5 months straight every week. Oh my god. So I do deserve a month or 3 off, and for like 2 of those months, I do sit and think, I'm like, is it over? Do I ever do the podcast again? I don't want to, actually. I don't want to do the podcast again. And then that final month of the break, I'm like, get me in front of a camera. I have to speak to the Kittenators, which, by the way, if you're new, you're the Kittenators / Self-Interrupters. And where I am right now is the KCCU, the Kit Costello Cinematic Universe. And there's a lot of KCCU lore, Kit Costello Cinematic Universe lore that you'll learn. And if you aren't caught up, please go back. and have a listen to season one and season two, there are some great episodes. A couple of updates in the KCCU, or the SICU, Self-Interrupted Cinematic Universe, actually. All video podcast episodes are now on YouTube. Mm-hmm. We now have a YouTube, Self-Interrupted with Kit Costello, or at Self-Interrupted Pod on YouTube. It's so serious over here, you guys, on YouTube. I have a full set and I have two cameras. Did I mention this? I have two little camera angles. Hi, what are you saying? I have three lights. I have a bed. You girls don't understand the upgrades from season two to season three. It's just giving. I have a new camera. And also, there will be bonus content on YouTube as well. I have a couple of vlogs going up on YouTube of the behind the scenes of making season three, the cover art, the alternative cover art. And I also am going to do a video which is kind of akin to Vogue My Life in Looks, where I'm going to look back on all of my past podcast cover art and all the alternative podcast cover art that you have never seen. So I think that's really exciting. And you can go over, please subscribe. It really means a lot. I'm a very indie podcast and it's all really just me. However, comma, another update in the KCCU, we have been picked up by production. Yes, we have. Thank you very much. It's crazy. There are ads on the podcast now. I hope you can deal with them. I'm not putting as little as possible, but I'm putting as bearable as possible. One pre-roll, one mid-roll, and maybe two post episode. But I did put them on and they didn't seem to come up on the episodes for me. So hey, listen. Maybe they're not actually going to happen. Maybe it's not going to work out. But hopefully they will. I think that they are all the updates that I have for you. But now let's actually get into the updates of what's been going on since I last saw you. Now, I do want to do a whole mini interruption episode, which if you don't know, that's the bonus series of Self-Interrupted, which is on select Sundays. Not every Sunday, babe. Don't get used to it. It's select Sundays. I'm a very busy person. But let me get into what's actually been going on since you... Okay, so I turned 22. Because I don't know about you, but I am feeling 22. And I did listen to that on my 22nd birthday. And I didn't listen to the Taylor's version. And I am sorry. I am sorry, Taylor Swift. Forgive me, please. But when I was 8 years old, I wasn't romanticizing myself listening to the Taylor's version of 22. I was romanticizing myself listening to the stolen version. And I am sorry. But Taylor, I'm sure you can manage, Miss Girl. Because I spent like £500 on tour tickets. So baby, deal with it, actually. I've paid my dues. I paid my dues. And also I have all of the Taylor version vinyls. So I think that that's fine. I can listen to 22 stolen version a couple of times on my 22nd birthday. God forbid. My goodness. I also do have my notes down here. Okay, so yes. I turned 22. Yes, I did. What did I do? I was with Emma most of the day. We went out for a nice little walk around London. We grabbed a coffee. It's super chill. I love a super chill birthday. I'm not the kind of girl that wants to go out partying. You can miss me with that. This is what happened on my 22nd birthday. I went to Emma's, we got a coffee. We then went to M&S and got soup, ate it at her flat. Wild, I know, 22nd birthday going crazy. Then we went to our friend Sophia. Sophia is a musician, much like Emma, and she holds these nights called Stories in London, and it's like singer-songwriters, and they come and talk about their songs, and then they play them acoustically. It's great. It's a good time. It's actually where I met Emma and Sophia, through my friend Moya. Oh my gosh, my web connects them all, literally. Yeah, we did that and then we just drove back home. And I do believe, like I said last season, that this is the year of dating. Yes, speak about it amongst yourself, children. It is the year of Kit Costello going on dates. Is it going well? No, it's not, because I am on Bumble right now. If you see me on Bumble, never message me. Don't even interact. I don't want to see you. And if I am on Bumble and someone says, oh my God, I saw you on Bumble, I'm like, no, you didn't. Catfish. Who is catfishing as me? I actually have done that a couple of times before. Like, it's always like a friend of a friend that says, oh my gosh, I saw Kit. And I'm like, no, you did not. I never verify my accounts on Bumble or Hinge. Actually, no. Hinge is the number one enemy of Self-Interrupted. You heard it here first. Imagine if they get like an ad placement before before the podcast. And I'm like, Hinge is the number one enemy. And then it's like, Hinge is a dating app that's designed to be deleted. And I'm like, I hate this app. But I famously have been completely banned from Hinge. Updates on that in a second. But yeah, whenever I'm on a dating app, I will never verify my account. I don't know why. I just get so scared that someone's gonna like show the messages that I've been sending them. Not that they're crazy messages, but I just, not that anyone knows me either, but I just have like this, I just get scared. I don't know if that is weird vibes from me, but I just don't trust men. I think that's the long and the short of it. Speaking of trusting men, there was this guy that wanted to go on a date with me and he was like planning it. Alec from Bumble, if you're listening. What kind of name is Alec anyway? Blessed be. I don't understand men, and I need to talk to you. Oh, I've missed you guys so much. Men just be pissing me off left, right, and center. Like, what are we doing? Why are we talking for 2 days straight? And then you're like planning this date with me and you're like, oh my gosh, we're gonna go here, we're gonna go there, we're gonna go everywhere. Do you wanna come into London? Do you wanna go for a drink? We can go to the restaurants. I know all the restaurants. I'm thinking, oh my God, is this my husband? What's going on? Then out of nowhere, I go onto Bumble and I see that he's deleted our message. Is. Our messages. That would be plural. He's just deleted the chat. And I'm like, what are we doing? And you guys know me, I get emotionally attached after an hour of speaking to someone, let alone 2 days. 2 days of speaking to someone? I was actually so devastated. I haven't even told my friends this. I was truly like, oh, this is gonna end me. I've just turned 22 and it's the end for me. Alec, if you're out there, I don't trust you. I never have trusted you and I never will trust you. I can't believe it. And then another guy called either Nathan or Daniel. I don't know. It was like a very like straight name. He was kind of into me, but I wasn't. And that's real tough because I don't like when there's a time limit on a date. I don't know if I'm alone in this. Basically, he was coming over from America to view universities. And I was like, okay, smart man. Cool. Love this for us. He was like, oh my God. Yeah, no, I'm in London right now. Do you want to go for a drink? And I was like, oh yeah, cool. I always say like in a week, and then I can kind of sense the vibes. This guy Nathan is like, oh no, I'm only here until the weekend, so can you do tomorrow? And I was like, absolutely not. I know what you're asking, like why? And I don't know why, but there's just like something in my brain where I'm like, I can't. I don't want to. And also I didn't find him that attractive. So maybe that's why. It freaks me out. The idea of a date freaks me out. But I probably won't be going on one anytime soon because like I said, Hinge has banned me from that app. I have a few updates about my Hinge banning. As you guys may know, I was banned from Hinge. I then used my mum's number. It's so trenches of me to be using my mother's number to get a Hinge account. Like that is an all-time low. I try again to get a Hinge account, doesn't work. Okay, cool. By the way, on my mum's number, I used my email that was with my old account that got banned. So then that account got banned. Imagine me getting my mum banned from Hinge. My God, be serious. I'm kind of coming to the end of my tether. So I email Hinge and I say, look, what's going on? What have I done? And they get back to me and they basically just, they're so vague. They're just like, you violated the terms and conditions of Hinge. So you're literally banned permanently. And I try to appeal it and then they're like, no girl, you're banned. So I have to just give up the ghost on Hinge, dude. Like it's over for us. Finito, actually. You know what? Bumble is actually kind of giving at the moment. I am talking to a couple of guys. Let's talk about it really quickly. Yeah. So I'm talking to, I'm not going to name them. My God, don't be crazy. Sorry. I almost just named them. That was crazy. I'm actually going to read our conversation out. I'm not going to name him, but I am going to read our entire conversation. Oh, I thought he messaged me. Oh, that was so sad. You literally saw like live. You literally heard or saw me live feed getting excited to see if this man that literally puts no effort in would message me. Okay, so we started messaging last. Oh my God. We started messaging on the 22nd of Thursday. Nope, 22nd of February. That's a long time ago. We started on Bumble and now we've moved over to WhatsApp. It's getting serious. However, he stopped talking to me for like maybe a week. And that was tough. But this is how dry our messages are at the moment. Okay, so, oh my gosh, this is kind of crazy. On Wednesday, after not talking for 4 days, I message him and I say, should I take the hint and stop messaging you? No. Shut up. Listen, sometimes I just want to know. Because if I block you and then they're thinking, damn, like, I wish that I could still talk to Kit, I'm going to constantly think about that in my life. Do you see what I'm saying? He then takes 4 hours to message me back and he says, sorry, I haven't been replying. I've barely been on my phone in a while. I take basically 24 hours to reply to that and I say, no worries. It takes him 4 days to message me again and he says, how are you? He says this at 5:50, okay? I then at 5:52, where's the self-respect? Like, come on, girl. What are we doing? He takes 4 days to message me and then I message him in 2 minutes? Christ alive. Like, come on, dude. But to be fair, he messages me back within a minute. He says a minute later, That's good and not too bad, thank you. I then say 7 minutes later, how's your week been? What have you been up to? And then he doesn't reply to me. So I then message him and I say, loved this conversation, George, with love heart eye emoji. And then he messages me 20 minutes later and says, I'm out at the moment. And then at 5 to 12 at night, when I'm like 2 hours into my REM cycle, he says, home now, smiley face emoji. So that's what I'm going through at the moment. It's tough. I think I really like a lot of attention, and this is the kind of guy that maybe doesn't really care for that. So are we the perfect match? No. Do I like the attention? Of course. What can you do? What can you do with a drunken sailor early in the morning kind of vibes? This catch up is literally going to be forever. So I need to kind of get a move on. Okay, so, oh my gosh. Moving on to some more dating stuff, some more dating tea. There's this guy on Instagram that keeps popping up to my story saying that I'm beautiful. Well, yes. Yeah. And I love it. However, when I message him back, he always leaves it on scene. So another case of a man being totally and utterly unreadable. Okay, I have gym crush updates, you guys. Mm-hmm. If you don't know the lore behind this, if you're new, honestly, you may want to just skip 5 minutes because you don't even need to know this. You don't even need this in your life. You don't need this in your headspace. You don't need it taking up your good brain cell. I basically live in a very small village and I went to sixth form in said small village. A gym has since opened up. In around circa 2021, a gym opened up. And now I was one of the only people my age going to this gym for like the longest time. It was me and a bunch of 50-year-old women, and I was literally living. Like, those are my sisters biologically, and you guys need to understand that, okay? In the past year, I would say, I'm not talking the boys from my sixth form, they have now turned into men. These men from my sixth form in my village have started coming to the gym. Rightfully so, because some of these divas actually live in the village that I am talking about, that I live in. Mm-hmm. Now, am I in love with most of these men? Of course, of course. I am who I am. I'm not going to apologize for it. Sorry. I've seen them multiple times, but none of them compare to a certain person. Olivia, stop laughing. Olivia, my friend, I know you're at home laughing, giggling and cackling at me, actually. And I won't take it. There was this person. I've talked about him on the podcast before. I would call it a situationship, but I guess it wasn't. I don't think it was because he had a girlfriend, but like it wasn't like romantic at all, but it was. It was everything romantic, but it wasn't. Like, he was giving all the signs that he was in love with me, but he had a girlfriend. So, like, what now? And I was giving all the signs that I was in love with him. Yeah. I have recently found out that this man has now started going to my gym. It is curtains on the local village gym for me, you guys. I haven't been in 3 months because I know that this man goes to my gym. Now, you want to know the crazy thing? My village is 50 minutes away from where this man lives. Now, am I saying that he's coming to the gym for me specifically? No, because I know that his friends live around here. But Diva, I'm sorry, go to the gym in your local village. Why are you coming to my village? God forbid I go back to that gym. I'm in the middle of a 5K because famously, if you don't know, I love to do a 5K run. I'm 2.5K into my 5K, dripping in sweat, beetroot red face because I've been lip syncing to Addison Rae's I've Got It Bad, pretending I'm performing at the VMAs. And I get a tap on my shoulder from let's call this guy Max. And he says, hey kid, it's been a long time. I would pass out, and you guys need to understand that I would. I don't even know what I would say to him because at this point, it's been so long. I haven't seen him in literally... Oh my God, there's more lore to this I haven't said. I haven't seen him in like at least 4 years. And after we broke up for COVID, I told him that I had a massive crush on him and that I was in love with him. And he said that he didn't reciprocate it, but he wanted to still be friends. And I was like, I can't do that, actually. I can't do that. So I blocked him on everything. Imagine I bump into a man that I said that I loved, blocked on everything. What the hell do you say? What the hell do you say to that? If there's anyone new listening to this season, I just know that they've already clicked off. They're like, oh, I don't need this in my life. But you guys need to understand, I'm talking to you as if I haven't seen you in literally 3 months because I haven't. You know, this is my way of like venting. Well, yes. Okay, moving on. I'm going to wrap it up now. I've started getting full body laser. We'll leave that there. I'll pick that up on another day. It's actually the trenches and I need to really get into it deeper. Full body laser is no joke. And full body laser is for God's strongest soldiers. I'm white knuckling that medical bed. Moving on, quick fire. I've been working on the podcast for months. And the final update on my list to talk about is the fact that I left my agency. Well, yeah. Yes, I did leave my agency, and that leads us perfectly into today's topic, which is why I have stopped modeling.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I left my modeling agency only a couple of weeks ago. We had a meeting in the Standard Hotel, which was very fancy. You know what I love more than anything? Let me talk about it. Is a meeting in a hotel where someone else pays for my drink. It's my love language, I'm pretty sure. When someone just buys me something, I live. It just feels so like, oh my God, Sex in the City vibes. Like, you guys, sorry you guys, I'm going to a meeting to leave my modeling agency and they're gonna buy me a coffee. I'll see you in 10, okay? Yeah, I'll see you in 10, guys. But this meeting was very long overdue. I would say possibly even like 5-6 months overdue, maybe 5 months, because I sent an email to leave this modeling agency back in October and we just could never really finalize a date to do the book handover, which really finalizes me leaving said agency. Now, reasoning as to why I left this agency, there's no bad blood. I absolutely love my old manager, Romani. If you are listening to this, you're my sister. No, you are. Exactly. The reason why I left that agency is just because I wasn't getting enough consistent work. And I think it's so important, especially in the modeling industry. And I'm expecting a lot of like my modeling followers from TikTok to be listening to this episode. So I'm going to be giving like tips and tricks throughout this episode on modeling and just like in any creative industry. I think it's just so important to know your worth and also just be transparent. In that agency, I wasn't getting enough work for me to want to stay there another year because my contract had come up, right? I'd been there for a year and I didn't want to resign, to be honest. It just wasn't the agency for me. We didn't align, but I love my manager. And it just sucks, you know, that kind of thing just really sucks. But we met up in the Standard and we had our little coffee and we just had a nice chat. And it was so lovely because we barely even really talked about reasonings as to why I left. Obviously, we talked about it and we touched on it. We were just inspiring each other the whole time. And I was saying how grateful I was to be part of the agency and how important it was to me as a stepping stone as a model. I've been really fortunate with my agencies, to be honest. There's been a couple of iffy moments within like the two that I've been with. In the most part, the agencies that I've been with, specifically the second one, have been so lovely to me and like have always just looked out for me. So I wanted to like get that across to her, but I was just so happy to leave. To be honest, I gotta be real. There's something about leaving an agency. There's a certain feeling it gives you that makes you feel not powerful, but just it makes you feel like you're you again. I don't know how to explain it. I might be kind of dramatic. When you leave a situation where you feel ever so slightly stifled, and it's not even maybe their fault, right? This agency wasn't holding me down in any way. But I feel as though when you're with a management, when you're with an agency, that's not really doing much for you. You just feel them on your shoulders. You kind of want to move on, but you know that you're still with them. And that sucks, dude. That sucks down. I don't like that. So being able to finalize this decision on good terms and move on and know that I move on with like almost just like crystal clear vision was beautiful. Yeah, I left my agency. And it is a good sign because it means that I want to get back into the modeling industry and I want to get back into modeling. Because I'm going to be honest, I have not been inspired by modeling in a good like 6 months minimum. I was looking back on my iPhone before I was doing this. My iPhone. Why did I say it like that? I was looking back on my iPhone, actually.
Yeah.
I was looking back on my phone. I just wanted to give you guys a date of like the last time I did a modeling job. I was expecting it to be maybe October, November time. The last modeling job that I did that I got paid for was June. June. Not even that I got paid for, that just wasn't a project of mine, was June. And that just like blew my mind a bit because first of all, it didn't feel that long ago. And to me, that gives me the sign that like, first of all, I haven't really missed it because I haven't been itching to get back into it. And I haven't even noticed how long it's been. I do want to get into the reasons as to why I feel as though modeling wasn't working for me at a time. And I do want to also stress that I know that there is privilege to me being able to take a step back from modeling. I don't know. I know that there is privilege for me to do that because modeling's not my full-time job, but like it wasn't my full-time job and it couldn't have been my full-time job. So thank God I took a step back, because it made me realize that I shouldn't have to take it too seriously, because modeling can so easily consume your life, truly. Like, it can ruin your life. It's taken lives. Like, not to get like too deep, but modeling can seriously affect you. So knowing when to take a step back isn't a privilege, it's a right. I know that, you know, some people might listen to this and just be like, oh my God, you're so lucky that you're even in the modeling industry and that you want to take a step back. That's like my dream. Once you're in it, you realize that, oh yeah, no, I know that I would need a break or two, right? So let's get into my reasons as to why I stopped modeling. First of all, there's a certain feeling to modeling that doesn't feel like you're ever fulfilled. I don't know if any other models or creatives, because I want to emphasize that this episode is for like creatives across the board, because I do think that modeling and like singing and acting, they all kind of intertwine. If there was a Venn diagram, I feel like they overlap somewhere in the middle a lot of the time. But I do feel like modeling for me, it's not creatively fulfilling enough. Thank God I had the podcast on the side to make me do something, because oh my gosh, the way that I would have gone absolutely bonkers, babe, if I didn't have the podcast by my side. First of all, I wasn't getting a lot of work, so what the hell was I doing at home twiddling my damn thumbs? But also to have something that was mine. I feel like in the modeling industry, like a lot of work, like normal work, you are working for someone else or for something else. Even still, like when you're doing personal projects, so for example, a job that I did last year was a shoot that I directed that eventually became a cover and a cover story in a magazine. That was mine because I literally directed the shoot. I came up with the concept of the shoot, but as soon as it was on the cover of someone else's magazine, it didn't feel like mine. And I don't know how to explain it, but it's like you do all of this work for something, and then once it comes out, there is like a slight anticlimax about it. And that's how I would describe modeling, or how I treated and felt about modeling for a very long time. It felt so anticlimactic. It felt like there was nothing to look forward to. When I was very naive and I had just started modeling, the biggest goal of my dreams was to do runway. And I didn't even think that I'd be able to do that, if I'm completely honest. Like, that was the end goal. And I think I did it in the first year. I remember, I think I've told this story before on the podcast, when I did runway for the first time, I was really depressed after I got off the runway and like the show had finished for like I would say like a 50 minute period, because I had to go and see my friend, because I was that sad. Like, I had to go and confide in a friend, because I had built up the idea of this career in my head so fiercely, and this moment in my career so much, and I romanticized it so much. And while I was there, it was feeling like this moment, you know. I was backstage at a runway show, and you know, the set was being built around me, and I had quick changes, and it was crazy, and I was meeting other models, and I was meeting producers, and I was like backstage, and I was talent, you know. And I did my walk, and it was crazy. I remember like feeling the music in my chest, you know, like the bass was so loud and I felt it. And then as soon as we got off the runway, it was literally like a curtain just fell in front of me, and it was like, done, move on. It was so crazy. Like, everyone was out of the room, everyone was onto the next thing. And it just felt like this moment, this flame that I had been burning, literally was like a gallon of water was just like sprayed straight onto it. And it was like, done, you're over, move on. Because everyone in the audience was on to the next show. No one cared as much about this show as much as the models, as much as the workers, as much as the designer. But for me, in that moment, that was my first runway show, and it was major to me. And within like 30 seconds of it ending, it just felt like it went so cold, and like everyone was over it. And that was like the moment that I realized that there's like this anticlimactic to modeling, because you also realize that you are the fantasy. And I've talked about this before on the podcast. In any kind of creative industry, like acting, singing, modeling, you are the fantasy. The reason why people are living for you is because you're serving it. When I'm on the runway, what I see is tons of cameras in front of me and the peripheral of the audience. What the other people see on the runway is a model in a stunning gown most of the time, and like a beautiful backdrop and scenic, but I don't see that. All I see is just a bunch of digital cameras, and I'm just like praying that I don't fall over. When you are the fantasy, you don't see the fantasy. And that for me was like a really tough learning curve to like understand. And I felt it with YouTube as well. Like, if you don't know, a bit of kit lore for you is that I used to do YouTube, and like when you watch the finished product of the YouTube video, it's great and it looks cool. But when you're living it, and when you're like, because I used to like vlogs and stuff, like it's not that fierce, girl. Like, you're just like walking down the street, but you record it in a like a romanticized way. And that's how I describe it. It was like incredibly romanticized for everyone else, but it was realistic for the models. And also I felt it on set, because obviously, you know, like studios, it's literally smoke and mirrors, like actually. And it was just like the realization that modeling is not actually that special, I guess. I don't want to like make this like a depressing episode or whatever, but like, I think it's just a realistic episode. And if you're a new model, if you're like wanting to get into the industry, I want you to know this before you get into it, because God forbid you come in and you really get depressed, because I don't want you to think like, damn, I thought this job was something to look forward to, because there definitely are parts to look forward to. But I do want you to like realize that the parts that you think you're going to look forward to aren't what you're going to look forward to. Like, I didn't think that I'd make so many incredible connections as a model. I thought that a lot of models would be rude and just like bitchy, but they're not. I've never met a rude model in my life. And it's just the things that you don't really think that you'll look forward to as a model, you do. On top of the fact that it was anticlimactic, I want to go back to the point that I made when I said that I didn't really feel like anything that I was doing felt like mine. In conjunction to modeling, I started doing Self-Interrupted season 2 around July, which makes sense. So around the time that I did my final job of the year, I started the second season of my podcast, which is mine. This podcast is 100% mine. I own the rights. It's my child. Like, you guys don't, like, this is my baby. I birthed her. And it is a her. Thank you very much. Self-interrupted, she, her pronouns. Thank you. When I was going through this period of not liking modeling, what did I have to fall back onto? This podcast, which I created from the ground up, that I could put all of my work into because I wasn't getting a lot of modeling jobs. And I loved, and I would never change that. I would never change the fact that I built this podcast to what it is now, because I was doing so much work for this podcast. And that's something I do want to work on this season. I want to balance, because last season it literally was taking up all of my weeks. My time was just taken up with the podcast. I wasn't caring about modeling. It wasn't something that I was missing. I do believe that one of the biggest reasons I wasn't modeling as much last year was because I was subconsciously transitioning, which I haven't really talked about on the podcast, and this season I am, which is really exciting. Last year I was subconsciously transitioning. By that I mean I didn't really mean to transition in the way that I am. By that I mean like getting rid of the masculine and bringing in the feminine entities of myself, and like manifesting how I felt on the inside and putting that on the outside. I didn't realize I was doing that, but it just happened. And I remember it kind of all came to a head when I think it was around like May last year. I went to a wedding. I was kind of asked if I was going to wear a suit. And I was like, oh, a suit? Why the hell would you think that I'd wear a suit? And then it kind of dawned on me. I was like, oh my gosh, I've come so far that I don't even know why people are asking me if I want to wear a suit. Because in my head, I'm like, oh, I don't wear a suit. I'm so femme. I was just exploring myself so much last year. And I did not want it to be documented for anyone else. I'm really happy that I didn't. I'm really happy that I didn't work a lot last year, because that year for me was very sacred. Like, that was my year of like realizing who I am. And like not knowing that that was happening, you know? And I mean that in the sense that like, it might sound quite naive, but I didn't go into last year thinking that I'd come out how I am now. Like last year I started getting laser hair removal on my face. And then I started dressing more feminine, and then I started wearing makeup, and then it was the first time I got like a feminine haircut. Like, you guys don't understand, or maybe some of you do, of course, if you're trans, but how personal it is to go through that. Like, you are quite literally being reborn. And the idea of taking photos for another brand, for another company, for them to then be on billboards in magazines, I was like, God forbid me, like, during a transitional phase in my life. Because, like, scrap the idea of literally being trans. If you're in any kind of transitional phase in your life, whether you've just come out of a relationship and there's this transition of you becoming single, you kind of change your aura, you change yourself, and you will know. If a photo of you has been taken in any kind of transitional phase, you always remember, right? I think it's important, especially if you are a model, to realize and take a step back when you need to, because I didn't even put two and two together, if I'm going to be real. But I think it was just my subconscious being like, girl, you don't need to do this. You don't need to push. Because you guys know me, I'm a workhorse at the end of the day. And what I want, I'm very stubborn. At what I want, I will get. So if I wanted work during those like 8 months that I didn't have any work, I could have, but I didn't want to. Like, in my head, I knew that there was a reason that was stopping me, and it was transitioning and having this moment to myself. And that's why I really mean I love this podcast so much, because it's what I had during that phase. I had you guys, I had the podcast, and I was talking every week about my experiences of life. And that's why I say season two of Self-Interrupted is such an important season to me, because it literally is my coming of age. And I think if you look back at season two, there are certain episodes where you can tell I'm not doing well. I can literally point them out to you, like basing my worth on analytics. I was so depressed during that time because I wasn't getting any work. I didn't like how I looked. I had a lot of gender dysphoria at that time. The podcast was such a coping mechanism for me because I was able to talk about how I felt. And then not only did I have you guys talking to me, but I also had my friends in real life that would listen to the episodes and come back to me and be like, hey, I literally feel the same way. And that was just so reassuring. So having the podcast was such a crutch for me during that time. And that's why I say that Self-Interrupted is so much more than a podcast to me. And I don't want to like shade other people, or like, this is no malice at all, because I know that podcasts for other people, it just is a business, and they literally just, everything's done for them, and they just sit in front of the camera and then they don't do anything. This podcast is literally like an extension of myself. And I know that sounds like so corny, because I feel like people say that all the time about like passion projects or whatever, but like it really, really is. Yeah, Self-Interrupted just really means a lot to me. And during that time, it was like so important. And I don't think that I put that together. At the end of last year, I kind of had a word with myself around like, you know, New Year's. And I was thinking, okay, what are the goals for next year? And I was like, I really want to be in my supermodel era. And I realized, because I now feel confident within myself, I'm ready to get back into modeling. Because I was so unsure of who I was, and I think in some way I still am, but I definitely had such a growing year last year. And to me, I'm so happy that I don't have photos to document that. There are obviously a few, and I did it. I mean, last year I think also was just so subconsciously I was working just on trans projects. One of the only runways I did last year was a trans runway with a full trans cast and a trans designer. And then one of the only shoots I did last year was a shoot that I directed called Angelic Trauma. So I think last year was truly like a very big year of growth for me. And I'm very, very happy that I had the podcast to, you know, vent and talk to you guys. But like I said, like this year, I just feel like there's a newfound confidence within me. And I just believe in myself a lot more. And I see modeling in my future now. And I'm very excited to get back into it. And I'm very excited to have my supermodel era is what I'm calling it this year. And I'm not putting pressure on it. I don't want to like be on every single cover ever, but I just want to get back into it. I want to sink my teeth into the modeling industry. I want to get signed to an agency. And I feel so much more confident in myself. And there is always a room for growth with me, especially when transitioning. It literally feels like I'm a new person, and I'm proud of that, and I want to show that off now. You know, I'm just really proud that I'm now in a place that I want to come back into the industry, and I'm even prouder that I was able to take a step back. And I really urge you, if you feel like you want to take a step back, do it. Allow yourself to disconnect from the job, because that's what I was finding so hard. I was trying to like understand the balance between myself and modeling. And what I did last year subconsciously, clearly, is that I was able to split the two. Because if I had mixed myself in modeling, I would have been documenting my transitional period constantly by taking photos all the time. But I knew that there had to be a line to draw. I kind of cut myself off from modeling, and now I'm ready to get back in with my newfound confidence. That's really the reason why I stopped modeling, and that's the reason why I'm getting back into modeling. I hope you enjoyed the premiere episode of Self-Interrupted Season 3. Before you go, of course, I have the recommendation of the week, which is Miss Me Too, a song by Griff. I love Griff. I truly do. This song is actually very fitting for this episode. This song is basically about being nostalgic about the past version of yourself, but also realizing, actually no, I was trying to make it like connect to my story, but it doesn't. It's just about being nostalgic about the past version of yourself, but I didn't think that sounded very uplifting, so I was trying to be like, but it's also about loving the new version. I don't really know, but it's a great song and I love it. It's very dramatic. I love a dramatic song. No, I truly do. If you enjoy this episode of Self-Interrupted, please rate the episode on Spotify. I have a goal that I really want to reach 250 reviews on Spotify by the end of the season, and I really believe that we can do it. So if you haven't rated the podcast on Spotify yet, please go ahead and do so. You can also view the podcast on YouTube at Self-Interrupted Pod or Self-Interrupted Podcast with Kit Costello. I'm going to be posting bonus content over there as well, so please go ahead and subscribe over there. You can follow the podcast over on Instagram at Self-Interrupted Pod. You can follow me on TikTok and on Instagram at kit.costello. Thank you so much for listening. It really, really, really means a lot to me. Like, truly, I'm sending you guys so much love. As always, Kit. Thank you.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.